News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage in association with AIR.
I'm joined by Harry Brown, media lecturer in TU Dublin and host of the Ditch podcast. And Harry's going to bring us up to speed on some of the stories you may not yet have heard and give us analysis on some of those that you have. And we start with your former home country, Harry, the US, where a union of democratic states are suing Donald Trump over tariffs.
Yeah, I mean, the tariff thing is kind of a whack-a-mole game that's been going on since this administration started. You know, the White House, Congress, the judiciary, now these state governments have joined in. So about half of the states in the country, or exactly half the states, 25 states, their governments have sued the Trump administration over the tariffs. Now, the latest version of these tariffs, and this has been part of the game, is that the courts keep striking down Trump's tariffs. The administration keeps coming back with a new pretext for them. The latest pretext under the 1974 U.S. Trade Act is targeting nations that use forced labor. And those nations apparently include the U.K., Brazil, Japan, the European Union, et cetera, right?
I wasn't clear there were that many EU sweatshops.
Wow. So exactly. So so the states are saying, look, you know, you're making it up as you go along with these
and tariffs. Is the argument for the Democratic states that the setting of tariffs is a measure, is an act of Congress rather than an executive role for the president?
Yeah, that's been part of it as well. Yeah, so that it's a misuse of legislation which violates the separation of powers in the states. The Attorney General of Oregon said, and this is all, it's also local politics, of course, Trump is trying yet again to inflict more chaos on working families and homegrown Oregon businesses. And so repeat that by 25. It's all political. It's all a build-up to the midterm elections.
Although I get the sense, though, that the core idea of tariffs, that it is ultimately paid by the consumer in the arrival country, that where the goods arrive into, that's where the cost is born. That doesn't seem to have taken hold with the American electorate, particularly not the Republican electorate.
No, and that's exactly why this lawsuit is taking place. It's basically a lot of Democrats saying, look, everybody, these tariffs are costing you. And I think that's really part of it. There's more tariffs potentially coming as well. 16 countries are being investigated over claims of manufacturing overcapacity. So essentially anything that they can find in any piece of legislation that gives them the authority to impose tariffs, they're trying it. The courts, as I say, have mostly been shooting it down.
Now, meanwhile, say what you will about Donald Trump.
We do.
It turns out he is a once-in-a-generational talent when it comes to golf.
He keeps winning tournaments at his own clubs. It's quite extraordinary.
He's 43rd, is it?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, there's a new story that he's been bragging about winning a tournament in the last few days. It's called Talent, and I have it, and they don't. There's apparently a book about Trump's golfing called Commander in Cheat.
Oh, have you not read it?
No.
Oh, read it.
No.
Oh, read it, Harry. It's highly entertaining.
Okay,
it's well worth a read.
Well, it's summarized in one of the pieces I was reading about this morning. Rick Riley is the sports writer who did this book, Commander in Cheat, and he claims that caddies at one particular club nicknamed Trump Pelé because he was so good at kicking balls from the rough out onto the fairway to set himself up for the next shot. So, Trump is a winner. What can you say?
Now, one of the things gets asserted in that book, I cannot confirm as to whether or not it's true, is that one of the advantages, apparently, if you open a new golf course, is that you can host a competition on it that almost nobody else is in,
right,
which makes you the inaugural champion at that golf course. And weirdly, Donald Trump has been doing this in repetition over
he
the past.
He really likes winning.
He claims a score of 70, which for an 80-year-old man is knocking it out of the park. That's golfing on fire at that age.
That's unbelievable. Yeah, he's ready to go into the majors, I think.
Meanwhile, we are entering, Ireland is now in a very elite space of only 4 countries in the world that still has legal greyhound racing. This is because New Zealand has ended it.
Yeah, the poignant piece in the New York Times describing the last race in New Zealand. And, you know, New Zealand has brought in a greyhound transition agency to oversee the kind of conversion of the last 1,000 people working in the industry into a post-greyhound world. But yeah, so the US, the UK, Ireland and Australia, the last 4 countries left with greyhound racing. And actually the US, it's almost gone, is one state in the United States, West Virginia. You know, one of the poorest states, of course, in the United States is the last one to do greyhound racing.
So there must be a challenge though for New Zealand in two fronts. One, there may not be a vast amount, but there are a a number of people whose livelihoods might be several decades long in greyhound racing and don't easily transition into anything else. And then the other thing, of course, the animal welfare front, where there are hundreds, if not thousands, of dogs who are now unemployed.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, New Zealand has clearly been phasing this out for a while, but the government has said it's offering retraining, mental health services, compensation, and other forms of support to the communities. But yes, the dogs, of course, themselves. Greyhounds make a lovely pet.
Apparently so. I would have thought they're hugely energetic, but apparently they more or less just lie around all day. One walk, that's all they need.
One run is all they need, yes.
Finally, science has analysed and researchers have analysed the priorities that men and women make in their lives as they get older and what they want from life as they get older. And there is a significant gender difference.
Yeah, so this is the gender gap in the question of longevity. Women are more likely to prioritise the quality of life over length of life. Men, somewhat more likely to put quality of life behind living longer. Men want to live longer. My algorithm actually bears this out. Since I turned 60, I get nothing but longevity content that Google is feeding me all day long. It's clear that I want to live forever. Women know better. But the thing is, Anton, women already have the longevity.
Well, but this is a good point.
You know,
they outstrip us by several years, don't they?
They do, and in some countries by quite a lot. And so, you know, I think that the idea that women value quality of life more than longevity, it's because they've already got the latter.
Harry, thank you very much. Harry Brown there, media lecturer at TU Dublin and host of The Ditch podcast.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.